Hello and welcome to the third in this series of 5-minute podcasts related to the topic of research and the early years learning environment. In this episode, I'm going to focus briefly on some aspects of the nature of research. In the process, I'll begin to identify links to my own research related to the early years learning environment. I'd like to approach this from an historical perspective with reference to Nisbet's 2005 research paper, What is Educational Research? Changing Perspectives Through the 20th Century, available as a Google search, and Denzin and Lincoln's view, detailed in the third edition of their Handbook of Qualitative Research, which identifies 8 moments in the history of qualitative research. Nisbet's survey traces the development of educational research from mainly theoretical academic studies at the beginning of the 20th century through specialist researchers with a particular focus on test construction, leading finally to a more participatory style of research, including small-scale action research and the teacher-researcher movement. This small-scale action research is typically carried out either by the practitioners themselves or through collaboration to investigate their own practice using a reflective cycle model, for example, plan, act, monitor, reflect, and repeat the cycle as necessary. My research differs from action research insofar as the impact is potentially more illuminative than instrumental, and the reflective process is typically not cyclical. Furthermore, it also involves the developing attitude of the researcher and is therefore to be considered as involving longer-term commitment with a broader focus. Although the concept of research is typically associated with activity, in the sense of doing planned research, I have used a potentially more passive concept of research as a disposition to behave reflectively in relation to a primary sensitizing concept, i.e. ongoing reflection rooted in experiences related to the early years learning environment. The concept of disposition also draws attention to the researcher's engagement and stance as a turning towards. Due to the dispositional nature of the research, with its focus on attitudes of engagement and lived experiences, there is, somewhat controversially, no specific or precisely formulated research question. Concomitants of this dispositional view of research are recognition of the potential subconscious incubation of ideas, spontaneous reflective activity at any time of day or night, and minimal constraints on legitimate research activity. As a process model, the reflections are to be regarded as evocative objects, leading to further reflection, rather than as outcomes of the research. Although the timescale seems to differ, there appears to be a connection here with Daspit and McDermott's concept of performative mapping in relation to lived experience. Quoting, "Gestures of representation are not end products, but rather catalysts in the dialogic experience between self and each lived moment. The product is the process, the thinking. We consider performative mapping to be analogous to alchemical transformations from Bagley and Kantian's Dancing the Data, 2002. Nisbet also notes the trend towards positivist, empirical research-driven government policy, a trend that's identified by Denzin and Lincoln as the eighth moment, and personified by the controversial Evidence and Policy and Practice Coordinating Centre, EPI, which supports systematic reviews of research to provide a rational underpinning for policy decisions. As Smith and Hodkinson note when discussing epicentre criteria for judging quality, this list is actually deeply controversial, and many high-quality research papers would be rejected if all these criteria were seriously enforced," from their chapter in Denzin and Lincoln. "My research would undoubtedly be overlooked by an epicentre review, but may find a place for itself in relation to several of Denzin and Lincoln's preceding moments. There is undoubtedly a preoccupation in my thesis of questions of validity, reliability, and objectivity characteristic of the crisis of representation and legitimacy of the fourth moment. There is also an emphasis on perspectives characteristic of the postmodern fifth moment, for example of teachers, headteachers, students, university tutors, other adults and children, rather than the search for global truth. And the sixth moment, where there was a merging of social science with the humanities and experimental writing, seems directly relevant insofar as the thesis includes an element of arts-based research and multimedia writing. In fact, the title of my research includes the phrase, developing a creative analytic paradigm, and the pervasive generative divergent analysis is being represented as an artfully crafted multimedia environment. Simply stated, the thesis is creative. And in relation to the writing format, as Coffey and Atkinson note in their book Making Sense of Qualitative Data, quoting, "The hypertext approach is non-linear, akin to browsing and following up cross-references, allowing a reader to follow and indeed create diverse pathways, thus supporting a much more interactive relationship between the text and its readers," published in 1996. The methodologically contested present, the seventh moment, continues to stand in opposition to the current evidence-based practice, though as a concluding thought, my thesis seems to fit comfortably, innocuously, and more importantly, supportively in relation to a reflective practitioner model of teaching and a teacher as researcher. Okay, I think that's about 5 minutes, so look forward to the next episode focusing on another aspect of qualitative research and the early years learning environment.